Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Geoffrey Pilgrim to commence a further chapter of Office Wife.
If there's any truth in the saying there's no peace for the wicked, then I must be about the most evil character around. Professor de Bendigo walked into our flat a few minutes ago, and I delivered my ultimatum about his reinstating Stella Bronson or taking my resignation. The old chap didn't turn a hair because Stella's taken the matter out of our hands. She's suing for slander. And when all's said and done, I don't altogether blame the girl, but that doesn't make any difference. I can't let her go on with it. I can't have it public knowledge that my wife was so furiously jealous of my secretary that she and her uncle made Stella out a thief to get rid of her and all the rest of it. So I'm taking the only possible course. I'm going to tackle Stella myself. Oh, if only she'd answer this phone. I've been hanging on for 5 minutes already.
Why must people always ring when you're under the beastie's shower? All right, I'm coming, I'm coming. Tabbing water all over the flat. Now, who is it? Hello? Hello? Hello, are you there? Hello? Ah, hang. Hung up. They could have waited another tenth of a second.
So there you have the whole score, Harry Olson. Nice state of affairs, eh? I rang Stella last night, but no answer. I can't get her at Puller's this morning, even.
Well, you're in the soup, all right. There's not two ways about that.
Minestrone.
Oh, well, I should let her get you down just the same, Jeff. There's still tons of time to bring Stella round.
If I can bring her around.
That won't be any trouble. The girl fawns on you. Half your rotten luck.
Oh, don't talk bilge for Pete's sake. You know what I'm scared of, don't you? I'm going to say, be a good scout, Stella. Don't do it for my sake. And what's she going to say?
Why come to me for favors?
Exactly. And how can I get around that? Only by being ever so nice to her.
Will that be so difficult?
Look, Harry, spare me the humor this morning, will you? Not always, but just this morning.
I'm sorry, old boy, but this is rich. In order to get your family out of the chowder, you have to be ducky with Mistress Stella. And if I know that baby, she's going to love it. Getting Marcia for six with you?
Well, can you make any suggestions? You've been round the course. Where's my aunt?
Well, Bendigo might be able to buy it off.
He tried. No go. She told him she wanted her reputation cleared and there had to be a published retraction or she'd get up in court.
Mm-hmm. That's too bad. I'm sorry I can't help, Jeff, but you know I'd do any darn thing if I could. Well, forget it for now.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I put your prestigious scheme up to Fleming yesterday. He went for it. Very enthusiastic.
Oh, about us approving our own department invoices for payment.
Huh? Yes, he's calling a conference with the accountants, and we'll probably see something of the sort in operation by next week.
Oh, good show. Listen, I better get back to my own den. Oh, how are you holding at the moment?
No, I'm all right. You sure?
Yes, can you spare the fiver?
Sure, more if you want.
No, a fiver will do. I was taken to the cleaners last Saturday afternoon. Shirt and all.
Races?
Only one. The fifth.
Well, thanks a lot, old boy.
That's all right. See you later.
We'll be approving our own invoices next week, eh? Nice going. With Jeffrey's fiver, I can afford to take Stella to lunch. Digging a pit for him with his own money. Oh, you cad, Palmer.
Well,
I very nearly said no to you when you rang, Harry. But my native curiosity got the better of me.
Playing hard to get these days, Stella?
No more than always. What's cooking, chum?
Well, Jeff brought me up to date on your strategy this morning. You must be pretty terse about old Bendigo and Marcia.
I am.
Injured innocence, isn't it? They had to get tough with you.
I know. I played some tricks where Jeff was concerned. But honestly, Harry, when I walked out of Bendigo's, I made up my mind to forget Marcia and her uncle and his firm and even Jeff. But when the brooch turned up and I ran into Marcia the other night, she had to be pretty beastly. And I thought, who the devil are these Bendigo people?
She wounded you, did she, Pedro?
You can laugh if you want to. And then Tressida Bendigo called at Puller's yesterday afternoon and merely rubbed the salt in. We're prepared to be generous. Here's a few quid, sort of thing. Who do they think I am?
I'll bear my soul, Miss Bronson. I think you're stringing me along.
Well, come on, Giv.
You're just playing the same old game. So am I. I'm after Pilgrim's place in the firm, and if you still want Jeff and a few square feet of Bendigo hide into the bargain, why don't we put our heads together?
Again? You play for keeps, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What's your proposition?
Jeff's been trying to get hold of you since last night so he can say how fond of you he's been all the time. And won't you please not sue his dear little wife? What's so funny?
Don't mind me. Just go on.
Suppose Jeff came to your place tonight. And when he gets you on the phone, you can easily refuse to see him anywhere else.
Oh, easily.
So here's what I suggest. And if you don't take me up, you're not half as smart as I think you are. When Jeff's been at your place for a while...
I'm miles ahead of you. You want to tip Marcia and her uncle off, and you want me to fling my arms around Jeff as they walk in.
It would resolve a lot of difficulties, Bertil.
Sorry, no go. No more of your dirty tricks for me, Mr. Palmer.
Now listen, don't be a fool.
There's definitely nothing doing.
But that's the chance of a lifetime. Have some sense.
It's time I was getting along. Are you coming?
No, I'm going to sit here till I petrify.
Now, come on, don't be childish. And thank you very much for a beautiful Chinese lunch.
Don't thank me. You should have enjoyed it. It was paid for with Pilgrim's money. Now let's get out of here.
Oh, Mr. Fraser. Barbara. Come here, will you please? Barbara... Don't let me have to tell you the same thing over and over again. There's no apostrophe in the possessive of it. It's fur, it's flesh, it's feathers. I-T-S. No apostrophe.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Pilgrim. I always seem to get them mixed up.
Now, tie a piece of twine round your finger or something. Here, you'll have to do it again.
I'll get it right this time, Mr. Pilgrim.
Well, come on, see who it is. You're my secretary.
Hello? It's Barbara Fraser here.
Oh.
Who? Oh, yes. Just a minute.
Give me the phone. Barbara, when you answer, you say, Mr. Pilgrim's secretary speaking. Then you tell me who it is. Now, who is it?
I didn't quite catch the name.
Never mind. Hello, Pilgrim speaking. Oh, you finally got the messages. Yes, I've been ringing all the morning, last night, too. Can I possibly see you tonight? It's terribly important. Oh, no, not there. No, really, anywhere but there. Well, all right, if you insist. About 8 o'clock. Yes. Bye. Barbara, try to remember how to answer the phone. There's a good girl. I don't care two pins, but it makes the right impression on people ringing us. Makes them feel on their toes, sort of thing.
I'll do better in the future. Truly, I will.
Oh, that's all right. Don't let it get you down. By the way, how old are you?
I'll be 21 in a fortnight.
You don't mind my asking?
Why, of course not. Shall I go on with the typing now, Mr. Pilgrim?
Well, just a minute till I check the rest of these letters. Oh, good Lord, have you done them all like this?
Like what?
I don't want to get cross with you, Barbara, but this won't do, really. Look, when you compile statistics or give information in tabular form in a letter, you use figures. But in the text, you write the figures out. Surely you know that. Look, the figure 5 for 50 years of publication. Here's another. We must have told them 20 times, and you've used the figure 20. Now, take the lot. Do the lot again.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Pilgrim.
Well, that's all right, but do try to buck up. You'd better hurry. It's getting on towards 5.
Yes, Mr. Pilgrim.
Oh, give me strength. Why do they have to saddle me with this kid? She doesn't know a business letter from a page in Forever Amber.
Well, this is Jeff right on time. Hello, Jeff. Come right in. You didn't mind my ringing the office, did you?
Not a bit, Stella. I'm glad you did.
Well, how are things?
Oh, as though you didn't know. And on top of all that, they've given me little Barbara Fraser to replace you.
Oh, what's she like? No good?
The poor kid tries, but she's hopeless. She literally hasn't a clue.
You didn't call to tell me about Barbara, though, did you? Come and sit down. I've got something here for you. Long, cold, not too strong, and with mint in it.
Before I start accepting hospitalities, Stella...
Don't argue. Sit down. There, make room. I'll move this little table.
Oh.
There we are. One each.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers.
Oh, confound you, Stella. Don't be so beastly hostessy. You know why I'm here, don't you?
Yes.
Well, what about it? You're not actually going to lure over the brochure for a few quid damages?
Not for a few quid damages, I'm not.
Then why? Out of spite?
It could be.
I didn't think there was any pettiness in you. Oh, be a darling, Stella. I'm asking you. Call the whole thing off.
What do I get in return?
Now, we can't strike bargains. Stella, I'm simply asking you as a very great favor to forget the whole affair.
If it's such a great favor, couldn't you put your arms around me to ask it?
Well, who's that?
Just a minute. I might be able to see from the window. Good Lord. Jeff, it's Tressida of Bendigo. Sir Harry Palmer told them again. He must have. I can't get Jeff out of here, so we'll just have to face the music. But I know what Jeff will think. He'll think I did this. And I might have to give Harry Palmer away. Well, why not? It's about time Jeff saw the light.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.